Well, good morning, church. Good to see you today. You doing well? Good morning to all our online community. Nice to have you. Whatever room you're in today, whether you're in person, whether you're in your lounge room, wherever you might be gathering today. You know, the church today is it's a lot different to what it used to be. We gather now in all kinds of spaces, and it's much bigger than what we are physically in the room because of our online community today. And we love that. We appreciate that. However you're gathering, the important thing is that we gather together and we do the journey together. We connect with God and each other. There's a few things coming up in church life that I want to highlight to you and just make you aware of so that you don't miss them. If you're a member of our teams or you're a part of serving some way in our church community, if you're a leader, we've got a team talk night on this Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. here at the church. Our team talk nights are just moments that we take to speak into the culture of our church, how we do the journey together. And if you're on team in any capacity, could you please make it a priority this Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. Cafe will be open at 7 p.m. For coffee and cake. If you want to come a little bit early and connect with some people, that would be really cool. If you're not yet involved in a team, but you'd like to kind of lean in a little bit more, why don't you come along? It's there's nothing secretive that we're doing in those moments. It's just talking about leadership and life and doing the journey together in an effective way. The next thing is Vision Sunday. That's coming up very quickly. That's on the 21st. So two weekends time. We're gathering here for Vision Sunday as we outline and overlay the theme, the heart, the mission, the vision that we're working towards as a church for this year. The other exciting thing is our Connect groups are gathering once again, which is really great, right across the city in all kinds of forms and formats. Some are in homes, some are in cafes and parks, wherever people gather, we're going to do that. And so you can sign up for a Connect group today if you're wanting to sign up for one. If you're not involved or you have been involved and you want to get involved again, you can sign up at the back of the hall in the Next Steps area. There's a table there and various groups there. We'll have someone there to explain if you want to know what group might suit you. I'm starting a new group in 2 weeks' time. That'll be on Wednesday the 17th. It's for men. It's called Man Moments with PT, and we're going to be doing some man stuff. We're meeting at the Big Bun Cafe at Browns Plains Wednesday in 2 weeks' time. And so if you'd like to be involved in that as one of the men in the church, just go down the back, put your name down there, and I'll make a contact with you, let you know all the details for that. And we're going to have numbers of groups like that, different men's options, different women's options that you can go to and connect during the week, because connection is an important part of how we do the journey together. If you're online today, would you let us know you're online? Go to the comments section, engage, interact with us today. Just don't sit there as a viewer. Be participating and be leaning in today and cheering on what we're doing together this morning for church. We're talking today about reset. Everyone say reset. Reset. And we're resetting in numbers of ways as a church as we approach this new year. It's a little unusual, 2021. It's not like a normal new year. Nothing's normal at the moment. So we're having to reconfigure, recalibrate, realign, reset many areas of life and, of course, many areas of our church life. Today is what we call an anointing service, and it's a little different to what we'd normally do for an anointing service. Normally, at the end of this service, our leaders would be out the front. We would physically anoint people with oil and pray for people for a few moments. And it's really a special time of praying over people's families and individual lives. But this year, because of the COVID restrictions, we're kind of forced to do it a little bit differently. But that's okay. Everyone say it's okay? It's okay. We found out during 2020 that we don't have to be subject to form. It's not about form. It's really about just giving God room and space for His function to be fulfilled in our lives. So we're talking reset today, and my first thought is this: we need to reset to live approved, we need to reset to live appointed, and we need to reset to live Anointed. You know, anoint is a, it's a word that many people are really unclear on, unfamiliar on. It's not a term that we use on a daily basis. So let me take a moment to unpack for us what anointing means. For me, anointing means this. It means that God gives you insight, that God gives us ability and stamina and authority or even protection that you don't normally have. It's a God-given thing that he clothes us with. In order for us to do a job, in order for us to fulfill the God assignment that's on our lives, you could literally say this from the Bible, the understanding of what it means to be anointed is this. It means to be marked, to be set aside, to be consecrated for God. By God, for God. And so we're set aside for a particular purpose. The anointing has nothing at all to do about looking good or feeling good. It has nothing to do about looking good or feeling good. It's not about giving anybody a platform. I remember growing up in church life. I've been in church life for many, many decades, like a number of people in our church have. And for many of us, we remember the era of the anointing. And we thought of the anointing as being someone that was loud and proud and would come and visit your church and do spectacular things. And what I discovered over the years of following God is that actually had very little to do with the anointing. Very little to do with the anointing. That was a whole lot more about personality and ego than anything else, to be quite honest with you. You don't have to shout to be anointed. You don't have to wear a colourful blazer to be anointed. You don't have to come from America to be anointed. It doesn't matter where you come from or who you are. If you're in God's family, if you're a part of God's tribe, if you're following Jesus with all of your heart, you're anointed today. Will you turn to your neighbour and say, you're anointed? You're anointed today. I want you to know you're anointed today. It's just not people that are on stage that are anointed. We're all anointed by God for the God assignment that he has for every one of us. And so we're made by God and we're made for God. That's what every one of us need to appreciate and understand about ourselves, but not only ourselves, about others, that everyone that is in God's tribe and family is anointed by God. You're set apart for a noble purpose. Set apart for a noble purpose. God's got a noble purpose for every one of us to achieve. Now the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. It says, now it is God himself who has anointed us. God himself who has anointed us, and he is constantly strengthening both you and us in union with Christ. He knows we are his since he has also, listen to these words, he stamped his seal of love over our hearts. He stamped his seal of love over our hearts and has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. Don't you love that thought? I love that thought. I love the word picture of here where it talks about someone getting engaged and they give a ring to their potential partner, their future partner. And that engagement ring is like a down payment. It's a down payment. It's a guarantee. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's what an engagement is. It's walking towards the fulfillment of that union of married life. And it's a promise of the best is yet to come. This is a small part of me, but the best, the fulfillment of being together, that's yet to come. And here Paul says that God has sealed his love over our hearts. It's kind of like he's tattooed. You may not have a tat today, but you do have tats. You have internal tats, heavenly tats. You have a tat on your heart of the love of God that's sealed. So imagine something being sealed by God. Like we talk of letters being sealed by authorities, you know, kings, and that they would put a seal, a stamp of approval, of authority, of authorization on a letter, on a statement. Well, God's done that on your heart, and he sealed your heart with his love. He's literally tattooed your heart with his love. There's a verse in the Bible that says he's tattooed you on the palm of his hands. He's tattooed you on the palm of his hands. You know, the thing about a tattoo is they're very hard to remove. Like, it's a real popular thing for people to get tattoos today. And I kind of look at it and think, well, do you really want that for the rest of your life? I mean, seriously, it might look fun when you're 19, 20 years of age. But you're going to live with that forever. That's forever going to be on your skin. And your skin's not going to hang like it did when you're 19, 18 for the rest of your life. It's going to start to look a little bit weird and wonderful after a bit of time. The deal with the tattoos of God is they don't sag. They don't sag. They're firm. They're permanent. They're sealed. It's a seal over your heart. You know, your God purpose is designed to be a great blessing to you. Yeah. A great blessing to you. Yeah. God wants the purpose of and the plan and the pathway that he's designed for you, that he's anointed you for and approved you for and everything. He wants you to enjoy the blessing of that, but not only you, for it to be a blessing to others. Your pathway is to be a blessing to everyone around you. It's to be a blessing to the people you engage with and interact with in life. Yet the truth is, what I've discovered is, for many people, that pathway, for many people, that plan and that purpose that God has for them, rather than of being a blessing, becomes a burden. It becomes a burden. It becomes a weight. It becomes drama. It becomes all of that because at the end of the day, they're not following it. If you follow the pathway, there's blessing. If you follow the promise, there's favor, there's goodness that God has designed for every one of us. But if we don't, there's a weight to it. There's a burden of it when we don't live out our God plan. So can I encourage you in 2021, stay aligned with the God plan. Stay aligned with the God plan. We're going to talk about alignment in a few weeks' time. Just stay aligned with the plan that God has you, because there is great blessing in it. And here's the promise. The promise is that if you follow the path and the plan that God has for you, that it is a path and a plan of unequaled potential and unequaled opportunity. Jesus said it this way: I've come to give you a rich and rewarding and satisfying life. I've come to give you a rich, rewarding, satisfying life. Another version of that verse in John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life abundantly, life that is over the top. That's my life compared to what the pathway of the enemy is, which is to steal and to kill and destroy, to rob from you. And so the anointing is for our God assignment. That's what it's for. The anointing comes with purpose. It's a gift given with purpose to propel us, literally, to fulfill the path, the God assignment, the plan that is on our lives. Today I want to look at three aspects leading up to being anointed, and these are the aspects that we're called to live approved, we're called to live appointed, and we're called to ultimately live with a sense and a walk of being anointed. So live approved. I think this is one of the major points for humanity today, because we're so broken. People are so broken. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but about humanity, but everybody's broken. The Bible talks about that. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The problem with sin is this, is it breaks us. It literally breaks us. It breaks something in our soul. It breaks something in our psyche. It breaks something in our relational ability. It breaks something in our social engagement together, in the harmony that we're supposed to have in life, with the people that we do life with. We're broken. Every person you know is broken. And so in coming to God, what we find is we find someone that can literally put the pieces back together. And that's what God spends the rest of our life doing, putting the pieces back together, getting us back organized as a human being in full relationship with God, so we can fulfill the God assignment that is on our life. In humanity, what we see in our relationships, the way it plays out, is we see people living to find approval. Yeah. Living to find approval, because we all want approval. I want approval. I'm looking for approval from you right now. Yeah. I'm looking for approval, and what I see is folded arms and impress me attitude. I'm looking for approval. I'm looking for a sense of validation because I'm shallow. Everyone say he's shallow. Yeah, well, news for you, we're all shallow. We're all shallow. We all need that kind of validation and approval from each other. Some people dress for approval. If you dress a certain way, you find approval. Some people love for approval. They think, if I can get in that relationship, I'll find a sense of validation and approval. Some people study for approval because they think that's their pathway for approval. Some people seek a relationship to find approval. Some people give gifts for approval. Some people spend money for approval. You know, the truth is, God has sealed our hearts, Paul says, with his love. He sealed it. And that is everything you need to find approval right there. Knowing your heart is sealed by the love of God. Nobody can approve of you in a greater way than God's Spirit sealing your heart with his love. And that down payment that God has given you of the Holy Spirit, which is like someone getting engaged and giving a ring saying the best is yet to come. So God's given you approval with the thought that the best is yet to come for you. You may not have everything you need to have right now. You may not be everything you need to be right now. You may not feel everything you need to feel right now. You may not be at the point of love and life right now, but you have a down payment that says to you, my heart is sealed by the love of God and the best is yet to come. Did you love the new song today, The King? I love that song. There is a King. And there's a line in there that says the war will be over. You know, we're getting closer to Jesus coming again. And one day the war will be over. Literally that means the struggle. We're all in this struggle together. And breaking news, the struggle is real. Is the struggle real for anyone else out there? Yeah. It is. The struggle is real. And when the struggle is real and the battle is hard and the night is long and the valley is low, what we need to know at that moment is that that seal of love is covering my heart and God approves of me. So I'm going to live approved. Seeking approval and trying to earn approval is driven by the fact that it's us that disapproves of ourselves. We often disapprove of ourselves. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. There's not enough evidence for you to disapprove of yourself. Your goof-ups, your mess-ups, your stuff-ups are not evidence to disapprove of yourself. Approval starts with you and me being in right relationship with God our Father. Now, we're not God followers because we're perfect, and nobody in this room is perfect, and I know that because I'm the pastor. No one in this room is perfect. We're all imperfect. We don't follow God, love God, come to church because we're seeking his approval. We already have his approval. We come to church because we know we're approved. We love God because we know we're approved. We give to God, we serve God because we know that's us living out our approval before him. As believers, what we've literally done is we've laid aside our self-reliance. We've laid aside our self-reliance to find approval in other avenues. We live embraced by grace. Don't you love grace? I love grace. I love the fact that grace is not a reward, it's a gift. It's a gift. I love gifts. I love gifts. I don't like obligation. I don't like feeling obliged. I love feeling privileged. There is a massive gap between feeling obliged and feeling privileged. A massive gap between having to and getting to. A massive gap in understanding where you posture yourself with that. Do I do this whole God thing because I have to? Or do I do this God thing because I get to walk this pathway that God has designed for me. So we lived empowered by grace. We refuse to be held captive by sin, guilt, or shame. Don't be held captive by sin, guilt, or shame. If you're following Jesus, let it go, because what you hold will literally hold you.
What you hold and hold on to will literally hold you. If you hold on to the guilt, it will hold you. If you hold on to the shame, it will hold you. If you hold on to the sin, it will hold you. And you'll be captive. You'll be a prisoner to it. But if you let it go, you'll live free and you will live approved. And when you live approved, you can live bigger. You can live brighter when you live approved. And it's about knowing and understanding that God has done that for you. God did that for you on the cross. You didn't achieve it yourself. Like, I haven't achieved that after coming to church for decades and decades and decades. I haven't achieved it because I've prayed thousands of prayers. I haven't achieved it because I've given thousands and thousands of dollars. It was achieved because somebody died on the cross for me. Somebody died on the cross for me. And not just anybody. God's only Son. The perfect one died for those that were imperfect. And so we need to approve of ourselves. Because when we disapprove of ourselves, it's hard to accept God's approval of us. It's hard. It's really hard to accept God's approval of us when we disapprove of ourselves. And not only is it hard to accept God's approval, it's impossible to accept anyone else's. It's impossible to hold the approval that others want to give you. This is the beauty of church family. Church family want to endorse and validate and approve others in the family. But sometimes people are so empty and are so broken, they can't hold the approval. They can't hold the approval. And the reason we can't hold the approval is because we're holding on to guilt and we're holding on to shame and we're holding on to sin. And you've got to let it go so you can embrace it. If you've got other things in your hand, you just got to lay it down and let it go so you can feel the approval of the family of God and you can feel the approval of heaven itself sealing God's love over your heart. Live approved. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, approved. Approved. You're approved today. Secondly, live appointed. Don't stop at living approved. Live appointed. Know that you're appointed by God. Know that your life is a God appointment. You're not an accident. It may look like an accident around you, but you're not an accident. Doesn't matter what the circumstances were of your beginning, you are not an accident. You were planned by God. You are planned by God for this moment, and the path you're on is planned. Whatever your career is, don't diss your career and your business. Don't diss it. Don't shame out on it. Don't talk it down. What you are is what you are, and who you are is who God wants you to be. And where you go and what you do, whether you drive a truck, fly a plane, you're a school teacher, whatever you do, if you're a doctor, you're a dentist, you're a clerk, you do admin, you're a PA, you're a manager, you're a director, you own your own business, you're in sales. Doesn't matter what you're in, see that as a God appointment. See it as a God appointment. I think the church, the church made such a mistake about 30, 40 years ago, because it's kind of like we preached that those that were appointed were those that were sent to foreign lands to be missionaries or the evangelist or the pastor. They were appointed by God. Now, the rest of us in the cheap seats, we just had to cheer them on. The truth is we're all appointed. As a mother, as a father, whatever the role is you play in life, see it as a God appointment. God's appointed you to be a mum, a single mum, a single again mum, a dad. God's appointed you for that function and for that role. And here's the deal. What God appoints you to do, He anoints you to do. He anoints, He empowers you to do it. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are. Stop right there. You need to write that on the mirror when you get up in the morning. God has made us what we are. God has made me what I am. In Jesus Christ, He says, God made us to do good works. That's what He made us for. To do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. I think what Paul wants us to capture is an understanding that God, Jesus, has literally empowered us, instructed us, He's equipped us to do good things. He's appointed us to do good things. And we all do that in different ways. It's a God appointment on the pathway of following God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which is a verse Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which is a verse us Pentecostals are really grounded on. And I thank God that we're more grounded on it than we've ever been in terms of understanding what this verse really means. Here is what it says about the day of Pentecost. The promise was, you'll receive power. Everyone say power. In other words, you will be empowered. You will be empowered by God, literally, His person and His presence. You'll be empowered by God when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It tells us what the purpose of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit is for every one of us. That the Holy Spirit would come upon us and He would make us witnesses unto God. Now, I'm not here today trying to make you a Jehovah Witness. I'm not here today trying to send you out to knock on doors and ride bikes. I'm not here today giving you pamphlets to say go out in the mall and hand out pamphlets to people. And none of that is bad and wrong in and of itself. But that is a shallow end of understanding about what this verse is talking about. This is talking about the empowerment of God's Spirit coming upon us to effectively help us to communicate and to be a witness in the way we live and the good things that we do to reach humanity. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it brings, the Bible teaches us about speaking in other tongues or unknown tongues. And we used to focus on that as being the one thing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is a very important component of it. It is a priority component of it that we never want to undersell or diminish in its importance and value. But the promise was not that you would speak in tongues. That was the outcome. That was the outcome. The outcome was that you would speak in tongues. The promise was you would receive power to be witnesses for Jesus in your world. So the anointing is actually something that flows through us. It flows through us to reach other people. It's not about a feeling, it's about a function. So we're approved. We are appointed. And then lastly, we are called to live anointed. You know, God's anointing, it makes difficult tasks easier. It makes difficult tasks easier. The Bible uses the analogy of oil when it comes to the anointing. And it talks about the anointing oil. And particularly in the Old Testament, they would anoint, mark kings and priests and different things to be used in worship and the presence of God. They would mark it and identify it with oil. Now, today, we use oil for lots of things. We use oil for cooking. We put oil wherever there's heat in moving machinery to make it all run without friction. Without friction. You know when you get friction in life? It's when the anointing's running low. When it's running low, there's lots of friction. There's lots of friction. The reality is anointing, God's presence, makes difficult tasks easier. We learn to do life empowered by God rather than empowered by adrenaline or empowered by ourselves. Ephesians 3:16, Paul writes, from God's unlimited resources. You should underline that in your Bible, that God has unlimited resources. God has unlimited resources. With God's unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through the Holy Spirit. In other words, God will make your life easier the more He's in you and the more that He's on you. He will make difficult things in your life easier. Now, the reality about my life and about me is the same reality that you have. I am limited. I have a limited capacity. I have limited abilities. I have limited knowledge. I have a limited level of intelligence. My creativity is extremely limited. My talent is limited. But God, my God, our God, the God that has sealed my heart with His love and tattooed His purpose and plan on my life and my name on the palm of His hands, that God, He has unlimited resources that He gives us through His mighty Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. In other words, we can say and think and believe and pray what Paul did in Philippians 4:13, where he says, I can do everything with the help of Christ. I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. Who gives me the strength I need? Christ does. Yeah. Christ. You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. You know, like my last name, we all have a last name. My last name is Sorry. So it's Tony Sorry. Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title. Jesus was his name. Christ is his title and his function. And Christ means the anointed one. And so here Paul is literally saying, I can do everything with the help of the anointed one. I can do everything with the help of the anointed one who gives me the strength that I need. Not only does the anointing make life easier, the anointing makes the impossible possible. It makes the impossible possible. Things that we are limited in, the anointing and God's supernatural presence and power takes us further than we could go with our own humanness. Literally, the Bible says all things are possible to those that believe that all things are possible. All things are possible to those that believe, the Bible says, that all things are possible. I grew up in a church that used to have a big banner across the stage because we didn't have projectors and all of that when I started in church. When I started in church, it was prior to the era of having an overhead projector. Who remembers the old overhead projector out the front? Well, this is prior to that. So before that, when we had the redemption hymnal, and we used to get the red hymnal book, and you come in and you'd be at the back of your pews. We never had individual seats back then. We had pews. And your hymn book would be there, and you'd open up to hymn number 37, and you'd sing the hymns together. And so at the front of our church, we had this big banner that says, nothing is impossible with God. So for about 20 years, I went to church every Sunday as a kid, staring at the front, because when you're a kid, you don't listen to the preacher. Except for the children that are in our church. Yeah, then listen to the preacher. I would sit there for 20 years staring at that thing going, nothing is impossible with God. I can still see it today. It's like it's imprinted, like the seal of God's love over my heart, over my mind is that banner. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And church, I want to remind you and tell you and proclaim that and prophesy that to you today about your circumstance and your situation and the stuff and the junk and the heat and the strife and the turmoil and the drama that might be surrounding your world. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with and for the Holy Spirit. And you can do it. You can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do it. You can do it. Don't give up. You can do it. You can do it. Nothing is impossible with God. In actual fact, the Bible says this in Luke 18. What is impossible for men is possible with God. What is impossible with men? There are things that are impossible for me, but God makes it possible. He makes it possible. I love the fact that God can do stuff that I can't. I love that. I love the fact the Bible says God created everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He took nothing and made something. That's pretty impressive. Pretty cool. I can take something and make something. Like this week I took some eggs. Yeah. Trouble right there. Crack some eggs. Put a bit of cream in there. Stir them up. Put a bit of cheese in the pan. Because every man knows you need a little bit of cheese in your omelette. Threw it in there. Cooked them up. Beautiful. I can take something and make something out of it, but I can't take nothing. And here's the deal. God took nothing and made everything. Everything you see. All things are created by him. All things are created for him is what the Bible says. I love the fact that God can do stuff that I can't. I love the fact that God specializes in doing things that are thought impossible. And that's where he steps in. I love the fact that God does miracles beyond what I can do. See, I can do so much. I'm actually brilliant. Very modest. My intellect amazes me sometimes. I'm surprised by it, how far it goes. I'm amazed at what this body can do. You laughed a little hard over there. I'm amazed at the potential of the human body. I'm amazed at the creativity in my mind. Aren't you amazed at yourself? I'm amazed. But what I'm really amazed about is, doesn't matter how much I can do, how much I can see, how much I can think, how much I can visionize, in God's eyes it's so small. Because he's so big. He's so big. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do for you. We used to sing it in Sunday school. Such a great truth. You know, I love what our kids do up there. We're just not taking care of them. We're investing in them. And I was one of those kids. Anyone else one of those kids? I was one of those kids. So that song, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do for you. I learnt my theology up there. Father Abraham. No, let's not do that. We don't have time for that song. That one goes on for ever and ever. Ephesians 3, Paul says, God's power at work within us is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare or ask for or even imagine. Go as far as you can, think as big as you can, ask for as much as you can. It's still not going to be at the limit of what God can do. It's still not going to be anywhere near the limit. Sometimes you think you're pushing the limits when you ask God. You haven't even started to push the limits. You haven't even started to push the limits. Take it to the limits. Take it to the limit, because God can take it so much further. Don't be afraid to dream big. Don't be afraid to imagine big. Don't be afraid to pray big about our circumstances and our situations. Because if you don't pray big, believe big, act big in it, that situation is going to make you small. It'll reduce you. It'll reduce you. It'll reduce your potential. It'll reduce your ability. It'll reduce your confidence. It'll reduce your ability to reach out and be the witness that God wants you to be. You know, it's easy to be a witness when you know you've got a big God who's doing big things and has big plans and has a big pathway for you to walk. It's not hard to invite people into that attractive life and that attractive world and that attractive lifestyle. And I think we would have a whole lot more traction if we learned how attractive we were. You're better looking than you know you are in terms of the world. You really are. You really are. There is no ugly here. Turn to your neighbor and say, no ugly. There is no ugly here. The Bible says he's given us beauty. Beauty for ashes. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his own time. All things beautiful in his own time. So your life may not be as beautiful as you pray it to be, want it to be, hope it to be, but it's becoming more beautiful. Becoming more beautiful. You know, the truth is God blesses us and he anoints us so that we can bless others. The anointing has nothing to do with you. It always has a purpose and an appointment for somebody else. God blesses us so we can bless others. Jesus walked into the temple. He unrolled the scroll and read at the reading of the day. And this was the reading. He walked in and he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. Why has he anointed me? The same reason Jesus was anointed is why you're anointed. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You know, there are some poor people out there waiting for the good news. There are some poor people that have an appointment with you in your life. You meet them during the week. You live beside them. You go to work with them. You'll have an engagement, interaction, appointment with them of some natural kind. But behind that natural appointment is a spiritually designed appointment that God has. Proclaim the good news to the poor people around you. And then he says, he has sent me. Do you know you are sent by God? You are sent into every space in life by God to proclaim liberty to the captives, to tell people you don't have to remain behind the bars of shame, the bars of guilt, the bars of sin. You can come out of that prison. God has anointed me to give recovery of sight to the blind, to help people see what they don't see, and to ask them, do you see what I see? Help them to see. Blind people everywhere. Help them to see. And then to set at liberty those that are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit is on you, he's in you and on you so that you can do good. Yeah. in you and on you so that you can do good. Jesus was anointed with a purpose. We are anointed with a purpose. Today we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to anoint us afresh for the purpose that God has designed the anointing for. I want to be anointed to do good. Anyone else in the room want to be anointed to do good? I want to know that I'm approved today. I want to know that God has approved and sealed my heart with His eternal love. I want to know that God has appointed me in what I do. And when I know that, when I know I'm approved, when I know I'm appointed, then I can walk in an authority and I can walk in an anointing of God, understanding that God has sent His Spirit to me to be in me and on me so that I could go around and do the good that God wants me to do. You know, the anointing is to help people that are in pain. It's to help people that are in pain. It's to help people that are lonely. It's to help people that are oppressed. Help people recover from life issues. It's to help people come into the blessing of God, to help the hurting, to help the lonely. We live in a lonely world. To help people that are lost and stuck in life and the broken hearted. The anointing is so that we would care and share. The anointing is show and tell. Show and tell. Go and show and tell the world what God has done. Go and show and tell the world. Like people say, well, I don't know how to be a witness. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know the scriptures. I can't win the argument. I can't convince them. I can't explain it to them. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to win the argument. All you have to do is go and show and tell. Do you remember show and tell when you were in kindergarten? Or in school? And kids would bring their thing to show. And it was the thing that they showed that told the story. Just show people what the Lord has done in you, on you, and doing through you. The hope He gives you. The hope He gives you. Just show them that. You're set apart from God for that. Here, we're drawing to a close. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus. Acts 10:38 says this about Jesus. And it says, and you know how God anointed. Listen to this. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. With the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good. He went about doing what?
Good.
Doing good. He just went through the village doing good. And healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. What I want more than anything for us this year as individuals and families and churches, as a tribe, as people that are following God, for our online family and community, wherever you're connecting with us, whether you're interstate or in other nations of the world, or whether you're in the neighborhood, that we would go about doing good, know that we are approved, know that we are appointed, and know that we are anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this. And it doesn't matter. I'm not going to put down my career, my pathway, my business that I'm involved in. I'm going to see what I do as a pathway to bring influence to other people. I'm going to be the best tradie that I can possibly be so that my trade speaks heaven's heart to people, the way that I engage and deal with people. You know, for every new season, and we're in one right now, we're a little nervous about it because we're kind of coming out of this pandemic and we're still getting some disruption here and there, and we don't really know what the year's going to hold. But for this new season, for every new season, every new challenge, I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh sense of the presence of God. I just need a freshness. I need to reset that. I need to reset that. James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know, God's such a liberal giver. The Bible says, if you ask God for this, He's not going to give you something else. He's not going to give you something weird. Like when you come to Him, He's the perfect Father. He's going to give you what you ask for. It says, if you ask for a fish, He's not going to give you a snake. Well, thank God for that. I don't want a snake. I want what I'm asking for. God wants to give you what you're asking for today. So ask God for His favor. Ask Him for His blessing. Ask Him for His goodness. Ask Him to bless you financially. Ask God to do that. Honor God with the financial plan that God has over your life. Honor God. Honor, you know, tithing that we talked about before, that Cheryl talked about, giving to God. That's an important part of how we do the journey. That's not man's plan. That's God's plan. That's part of the pathway and the alignment that we have as being God followers. And there are literally some people online today and literally some people in the room. And you know the thing about church, whether you're online or whether you're in the room, it's still church. There's still discipleship. There's still community we need to build. There's still a sense of coming together that we need to encourage. There's still serving God. There's still contributing. All of those aspects of discipleship are the same whether we're online or whether we're in the room today. And literally there are people in our church family in all spaces that need to really reset with their giving and an understanding of that and honouring God in terms of what we do with our businesses and what we do with our calling and our work and our honouring the Lord. Here's my thought on it. If you want God in your venture, you need to have God in your vision. If you want God in your venture, you need to have God in your vision. We all want God in the venture, but where's God in the vision? Is he in the frame? Is he in the frame of your life? Is he? The Bible uses the language of first. Put him first is what it talks about. And so this is in the Bible, it says in Malachi 3, it says, bring all your gifts, bring all your tithes into the storehouse so that there'll be room in my house. And it says, God's promise is, I will open the windows of heaven for you and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have room to take it in. It says, try it, prove me, put me to the test. You know, on the pathway of following God and honoring God financially, as we do this, God will open windows. He'll open windows, windows of opportunity and windows that are open to pour out uncontainable blessing. And God says, test me. See what I do when you put me in your venture. There are people here today. There are people online today. You need to make sure God's included in your venture. In your venture by being part of your vision for what you do. Psalm 84 says, the Lord gives generously to us. He gives generously in terms of favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold from those who live right. No good thing will he withhold from those that live right. I don't know what your challenge is this year. I know we're all affected by the post-pandemic, but we have our own challenges around our world. All of us do. The struggle's real for all of us as we journey through life. But what I do know is we need a fresh anointing for this moment. We need a fresh anointing for this moment, for this season. We need a reset. We need a reset of passion. We need a reset of desire, a reset of, God, just fill me again. I need to be more aware of your presence, and I want to be closer to you this year than I was last year. I want to be closer to you. I want to reset my relationship. I need you more and more every day. And so if we want to live an anointed life, we need to live an approved life. If we want to live an anointed life, we need to live an appointed life. We are approved, we are appointed, and we are anointed. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? We're not going to literally anoint everyone with oil today like we would normally do. But what we're going to do is pray for the Holy Spirit just to come and increase measure on every one of us and to touch us afresh. Touch us afresh and fill my cup. Fill my cup. I need my cup filled by God. I want to be aware, more aware than ever, of the embrace and the seal of his love on my heart, of his validation, of his approval. And I'm going to stop striving. I'm not going to strive for that relationship with God. It's something he gives freely. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ in terms of you've not asked personally God to come into your heart. Or maybe you're online today, you've not asked God personally to come into your heart. Can I just tell you very plainly and strongly that it's not a relationship you can earn. It's a relationship you receive. It's a gift God gives to every one of us. And to be made right with God and become a God follower only happens as we embrace the gift of Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. It's not a weird thing. It's not a religious thing. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with a God that created you, made you, designed you, and has a plan and a path for you. A God that wants to redeem your brokenness. Don't be ashamed of your brokenness. Everybody's broken is what the Bible says. Everybody is broken. And God is our healer. And to ask God to come and heal your soul,
is as simple as saying, God, I need you. I need you. Would you come into my heart? Would you make my heart right? Would you seal my heart with your love? Would you tattoo my name on the palm of your hands? Would you do that, God? God, I'm far from you today, might be your thought. Well, it's easy to come home. It's easy to come back. God, I've messed up. I've goofed up. I've stuffed up. Welcome to the human race. We're all a part of it. Don't hold that. Give that to Him. And embrace the life He wants for you. If you want to make your heart right or have your heart made right by God right now, I'm going to pray a prayer before we go on, because this is an important moment right now, what we're doing. Because this is the start of living an anointed life, to live approved by God. I want you to know you're approved. The approval of God is better than any other approval or validation you will seek in life. It's the approval that will make you right. If you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart today and ask Him to come in and heal your brokenness and your sin, I'm going to ask you, if you're in the room, to lift up your hand in a moment and say, Pastor, that's me. Maybe you've been away for a lot of years and you want to come back. Maybe you've been in church and you're hiding, because people hide in church. Maybe you've been in church and you're hiding. You're just coming to get the approval of your friend or your partner, your loved one. Well, today, why don't you find your own approval in heaven's heart? Because that's the one that really matters. If you're online today, you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, just click the link. There's a link there for you that says, I said yes to Jesus. If that's you today, you can click that, and I'm going to include you in this prayer in this moment. How's your heart? Right across this room today, how's your heart? Where is it? Would you open it for a moment and just say, God, I need you. Come into my heart, come into my life. Heal my brokenness today. Forgive me my sin and make me right with you, Jesus. I'm going to pray this prayer right now, and if you want to own that prayer, why don't you pray it along in your own mind and heart? And at the conclusion of the prayer, I'm going to ask, if you're in the room, if you'd lift your hand and let me know. If you're online, if you just go to that link, and we'll have some people online to help you in terms of knowing what your next steps might be. Father, in Jesus' name, today I pray for people that need to open their heart and have their heart restored and their heart made whole, and go on a journey of healing the brokenness that has happened in their world and their lives. And that's every one of us, God, that need to take that moment to say, yes, I need you, and say yes to Jesus. And so we say yes to Jesus today, and we invite in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit to come into my innermost being, to make me right with God. Forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteous ways, and make us right with you. Do only what you can do today. Overcome our limitation to love life and to live life and to live the life that we love. I pray, help us to do that through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiveness today. Thank you for acceptance today. Thank you for validation today. Thank you for approval from heaven that's coming into the hearts of people that have been striving for so long to lay it down and let it go and to hold on to you. That's my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer today and you're in the room, would you lift your hand up nice and high? Just let me see that hand. I just want to acknowledge you today is what I want to do. Thank you, guys. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down. Anyone else, you pray that prayer today? Let me see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. For those that lifted their hand at the conclusion of the service, would you just come and meet? I just want to say hello to you. That's all I simply want to do. And I want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate those in the room today. Come on. Come on. It's always a good deal when people open their heart to heaven. If you're online today, click the link. Click the link that says, I said yes to Jesus. Click that link and we'll have some people follow through and make a contact with you. Well, to draw our service to a close today, we want to have a moment where we're just praying, God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come in increased measure in every one of us today. We're going to pray that
Before we pray, we're going to sing this song again, There is a King. Because this song just opens up your heart. It talks about laying every burden down, letting every burden go. It talks about just letting that go and having God come. Let the King rise in your heart for a moment. Then we're going to stop the song and I'm going to pray for us and pray and believe for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come in increased measure on every one of us. And then we're going to sing again and finish with a celebration. Come on, church. Now's the time to lift your hands, lean in and worship the Lord together.